Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you as usual. And we start with good, but it's not exactly the best good. And that's a new report from the Wall Street Journal showing that the quote-unquote moderate rebels in Syria, the ones that we were all set to get behind and already agreed to arm to some extent, but were on the verge of launching airstrikes to support in the wake of the chemical weapons attacks back in September. Now it turns out that the moderates have pretty much been scurrying for the hills. General Idris, the one that Senator McCain constantly touts as the reliable ally among the Syrian rebels. He's not a radical. Well, it turns out the radicals have pretty much chased him out of town. So, Jim, it turns out that whatever deal was struck here about Syria's chemical weapons, whether or not it works or not, at least we didn't get stuck supporting moderates that didn't stick around for the fight.
People look at this and say, this is a terrible development. Oh, my goodness. It's, you know, now it's clear. It is, you know, chemical weapon using Bashar Assad versus al-Qaeda. And who the heck do we root for? And the answer is, well, we root for injuries. We root for them to harm each other instead of harming anyone outside Syria. And really, it makes our non-intervention in Syria look like a wiser choice in retrospect. It probably was done by a combination of accidental lack of planning, incompetence, hesitation on the part of the president, indecisiveness. But the good news is, I mean, imagine if we had actually gotten involved and committed ourselves. You know, this is a case where John McCain was utterly convinced that this General Idris and his faction could eventually overtake, become the dominant force amongst the rebellion against Assad. It appears clearly that's not the case. Everyone who back during the summer when we were contemplating this action said, look, we will end up being de facto allies to al-Qaeda in this fight if we intervene. You know, you could argue U.S. intervention might have strengthened the hand of Idris, but you kind of wonder how much it would have completely turned the tide of battle. You know, in other words, if there are more Syrians willing to ally themselves with al-Qaeda, then with this secular, you know, quasi pro-Western general, then I'm not so sure all the U.S. aid and all the U.S. money and all the U.S. arms and all that stuff would have made a big difference. So as bad as Syria is, it's very easy to imagine a scenario in which it ended up being a bigger mess for America and our interests by getting more involved this summer. So in retrospect, maybe it's very good that we ended up keeping everything at arm's length and not fooling ourselves into believing that there was a secular pro-Western rebellion in that country ready to take power. It's a rebuilding day for the good martini.
Yeah, that's a stretch right there. All right, on to the bad martini now. And Jim, I think most people who follow this podcast are aware that Paul Ryan and Patty Murray unveiled their a bipartisan approach to funding the government, avoiding a government shutdown potentially in January. It's a deal that folks on the right don't like too much. Folks on the left don't like too much. The main principles are that there are no tax hikes. There are additional fees through air travel and so forth. There is $63 billion of cuts given away that would have been sequestered in exchange for $85 billion in cuts down the road. And so a lot of conservative groups and conservative lawmakers are not excited about this. And here's how it played out for Speaker John Boehner's press conference yesterday.
Most major conservative groups have put out statements blasting this deal. Are you worried?
You mean the groups that came out and opposed it before they ever saw it?
Yes, those groups. Are you worried that
they're using our members and they're using the American people for their own goals? This is ridiculous. Listen, if you're for more deficit reduction, you're for this agreement.
Jim, obviously difficult to wade through this. It is stupid probably to criticize deals before they're actually done, although there had been some reports suggesting where the negotiations were heading. That comment is certainly irking a lot of folks on the right, especially on the same day that a well-respected executive director of the Republican Study Committee was fired for allegedly leaking member conversations. So what appeared to be smoothed over by the train wreck of Obamacare following the government shutdown debate seems to be flaring up again.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, pretty frequently accused of being the establishment shill, rhino squish, but I really would like to wrap Boehner on the knuckles with a ruler over this one, because first of all, most of the early reports about the deal turned out to be pretty accurate. The hiking of the TSA fee and things like that. Secondly, so now they've seen it, and I don't think much of their, it's not like, you know, they were erroneous and they thought it was going to be terrible. Now they've seen it. Now they like it. No, they've looked at it. And this is, you know, if you are a small government conservative, this is not a good deal. And I'm not just saying, you know, which doesn't mean you shouldn't vote for it and there shouldn't be, you know, it may very well be the best deal available, but that is not a synonym for a good deal. Sometimes the best thing available is mediocre at best. Probably the aspect that we should get most excited about is the pension reform and getting Democrats to sign on to any kind of pension, even really minor one. It's going to represent something of a negotiating victory for Paul Ryan. Having said that, the sums of money we are dealing with is so small, particularly in terms of deficit reduction. I'm kind of amazed that anybody would say that this was try to tout this as this enormous victory for the cause of all that is good and conservative. And I'm also kind of baffled that anybody would say this represents a giant sellout and a catastrophic capitulation and surrender of conservative. No, it's a slight change in the status quo. And we're talking about, you know, tens of billions of dollars, which to most people seems like lots of money. But ultimately, in terms of federal spending over a course of 10 years, is very small. And so, this is a two-year deal. We get another bite at the apple with this. So the idea that anybody wants to draw swords and really, you know, run each other out of the party over this deal strikes me as a spectacularly wrong-headed bit of infighting that only distracts us from what we want to do, which is, you know, build a critical mass for huge midterms and to push through a serious, you know, effort at repeal starting in 2015.
Jim, I think we have a first in the crazy martini. It's not often, and I think it's unprecedented, actually, that we've had the same story back-to-back days in the crazy martini. But if a story ever deserved it, it's this one. The South African sign language interpreter, this is from the USA Today, accused of using fake signs at Nelson Mandela's memorial service this week, said he suffered a schizophrenic episode at the event during which he hallucinated and heard voices. Tamasanka Jantje made the admissions to Johannesburg's Star newspaper following allegations that have led to him being called an imposter by sign language experts. He says, "There was nothing I could do. I was alone in a very dangerous situation. I tried to control myself and not show the world what was going on. I am very sorry. It's the situation I found myself in." And in a separate interview with the Associated Press, he said that while he was still on stage, he saw visions of angels. He also told the AP that he had been previously violent and was once hospitalized in a mental health facility for more than a year. Jim, if that is your background, how does he get on stage next to world leaders?
My understanding is that CGI Federal, the builder of the healthcare.gov website, was running the system for vetting all the people up on stage. You mentioned this being our first back-to-back crazy martini. By the way, somebody's going to assume that, you know, calling it the crazy martini, we're you know, making fun of the mentally handicapped or something like that. We're left with this circumstance in which what seemed like a funny story yesterday of somebody doing a Frank Drebin, Enrico Palazzo, sneaking his way in and faking it, it's now much more disturbing because this guy clearly has some sort of mental problems, saying that he's been violent in the past. He's schizophrenic and had visions of angels. Like, this is not a person you want within arm's length of the president or any other major world leader. Particularly post-Mandela, the government has not been quite so inspiring. I believe one of their leaders did not believe that AIDS was caused by the HIV virus. This kind of looks as a very, very amateurish, slipshodish, and just overall poor management of this event to have this guy wander in and have serious problems for him to be the guy who did it. Also noted, this whole idea that he's faking it, Greg, on Chuck Todd's Daily Rundown today, Chuck Todd was talking to their correspondent on the ground there, and they said, well, does he know sign language? And the correspondent said, that's a good question, Chuck. Meaning we're not so sure. So it may be that he was a violent schizophrenic and that he was faking his way into this location where he was, you know, up on stage with all these world leaders. So, you know, right now the Salahis are looking at this and saying, damn, wish I thought of that one. It's really funny and yet now kind of creepy. You know, thank goodness he didn't, you know, said he saw angels descending into the stage. Good thing he didn't see demons, huh? Good thing he didn't, you know, see something that caused him to have a major freak out. I'm hoping that the claim of having a schizophrenic attack is an excuse, he's playing the mental illness card to get out of trouble. There's no angle in which this is all one big harmless mistake. It's bizarre, it's funny, and yet kind of creepy and disturbing. And you kind of wish it didn't have to mar an event that's supposed to be, you know, solemn and remembering a great man of Africa. And so there we are. Who knows what tomorrow's revelation about this guy will be.
Well, one of the other stories I saw, it's not in this USA Today piece, is that he said, you know, he knew he was in this schizophrenic episode and he felt like doing something. And the only reason he didn't is because he knew there were a lot of people around with guns. Add that to the gun debate. Maybe having guns around to protect people is a good thing.
I am now kind of flabbergasted. And, you know, just maybe from now on, maybe the president should bring his own sign language interpreter. You carry the football, carry your own sign language interpreter and all that stuff. Having said that, to show that like good news can come out of almost any bizarre or unfortunate situation, Greg, if you are not following the Mandela Interpreter Twitter account, it is some of the finest gibberish you will ever come across. So at least we find something to laugh about really bizarre turns of events and if that's not what we're here for, Greg, I don't know what is.
Oh, man. I should have known that was coming. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please be sure to join us again tomorrow for the Friday edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.